Family, the bedrock of society, an important influence to children that helps shape their perspective of life as they grow up. It helps in building their confidence, shaping their beliefs, values, and more importantly, helps them to become what God has ordained them to be. The dynamics of the family circle cannot be overemphasized. It plays a key role in our social interactions as adults and as children. And because of its domino effect in our lives, we need to pay attention to it and be heavily invested in building a healthy, strong family with the goal of raising better children, building healthy relationships between spouses, but more importantly, in building a better society across all nations. Get ready to explore and learn with Pastor Fumi Alawale on the subject of family dynamics and its impact in our lives.
Hello, good day everyone. How are you and how has your week been? I hope you are having a good time and you are enjoying yourself at this time in our world today. And God has been so good. God has been so wonderful. We bless God for his faithfulness. It's another episode on family dynamics with Pastor Fumi. And today we want to start a series on intimacy in marriage. But today we are going to be looking at spiritual intimacy. But before we go on, I want us to pray. And then I read the scripture that I felt God laid on my heart. Father, we just want to bless you for this time. We give you glory. We give you praise. Even as we go into your word, Lord, we thank you because your desire is for our marriage to be wonderful. Your desire is for husband and wife to enjoy their relationship. Lord, even as we look into the word of God, we ask that you grant us grace for understanding and also help us to be doers of the word so that your purpose and desire over our marital life will be brought to fulfillment. Spirit of the Lord, take it over. Minister to every heart and take my lips and use it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So we are going to be reading Ecclesiastes chapter 4. I will read 9 to 12 in Good News Bible. And also I will read verse 12 in some other versions of the scripture. The Bible says, two are better off than one because together they can work more effectively. If one of them falls down, the other can help him up. But if someone is alone and falls, it's just too bad because there is no one to help him. If it is cold, two can sleep together and stay warm. But how can you keep warm by yourself? Two people can resist an attack that would defeat one person alone. A rope made of three cords is hard to break. This is the way Good News Bible puts it. I want to take that verse 12 in the New Living Translation. It says, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. The three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. And this same scripture as in easy to read version, it says, an enemy might be able to defeat one person, but two people can stand back to back to defend each other. And three people are even stronger. They're like a rope that has three parts wrapped together. It is very hard to break. And lastly, I'm reading that verse 12 from God's word. Though one person may be overpowered by another, two people can resist one opponent. A triple braided rope is not easily broken. So, from what we see from this scripture, the Bible is talking of an enemy might be able to defeat one person. The other version says, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated. And the first one I read, it said, two people can resist an attack. So we could see that from all this scripture, for you to be attacked or for you to be defeated, it tells us that life is war. And people say life is spiritual. It's not, things just don't happen. There are things that are done in the realm of the spirit that make things happen. And from previous episode, we discovered that the devil is against marriage because he knows that the desire of God for establishing marriage was because he was looking for godly seed. God desired godly seed. And for godly seed to come from any family, that family must be in unity. That family must be at peace. That family must enjoy the presence of the Lord. And so when that is happening, the devil cannot operate in such an environment. And that's why he will go all the way to try and attack families. And when we look at the scripture in the book of Genesis, at the beginning, God's intention for Adam and Eve was so different. It was a beautiful life. The Bible recorded that God would come in the evening and just play with them, just with Abraham. You know, he would go around the garden, they look at things together. But the devil was not happy. And he looked for a way to deceive them. And that was how sin came in. That's the same technique, the same method that the devil is using even up to today. He looks for a place that is good. He looks for a place that is peaceful. He looks for a way to attack such a place, to bring disharmony, to bring disunity, to bring strife, so that he can have a free course to operate. And that's why we're looking at all these things, so that we know that life is spiritual and there is battle. But one thing that is certain, the Bible says one will chase 1,000, 10,000. And the end of that scripture says a rope that is made of three cords is hard to break. So when we talk of three cords, we're talking of the husband and the wife and God as the third person. So when God is in the midst of a home, it's difficult for the devil to do anything. He will only try. And the Bible says, he will come in one way, flee seven ways, because God is there. And so that's why we cannot but, you know, need God in our relationship. So one thing that is sure, when we talk about spiritual intimacy, is the need for us as husband and wife to embrace God in their relationship. So, so important. We can't do without him. He's the one that authored marriage. He's the one that started it. His marriage is his idea. So you can't leave him out of it and say you'll prosper. The devil is waiting for that open door. The Bible, there's a particular song that I love to sing. It's in my language. But the meaning is that God, the devil waits for our unguided hour. When we are not watching, when things are not as it's supposed to be, and he comes in to do his havoc. But that will not be our portion in the name of Jesus. So it's important for us as husband and wife to make God the foundation of our relationship, the foundation of our home. Let him have the right place. Let him sit. Let him be at the center of our relationship, at the center of our home. So this is key and is essential to experiencing the kind of marriage that we desire. Everyone that goes into marriage, they're looking forward to a time of happiness, a time of joy, a time when husband and wife can have, you know, blessings all around. You're happy. That's the desire of everyone. But I tell you that it's not like that with everybody. And it's just because most of the time we have allowed the devil, we have pushed out God. And somebody said when he wants to pray and he's very hungry, he will say, minus the devil plus God. So when you have invited God into your relationship, be so certain that God is able to sustain that relationship. So in most cases, this is not the case. And many couples have very poor spiritual life together. It's either we're not praying together. It's either this one is doing that. And the tendency is that even after marriage, we tend to go cold. No more time for prayer. We have so many things we're doing. We're chasing this, chasing that. And that's the way the devil comes in. There's a particular man, he said, his name is Neil Warren. He said, only 10 to 15% of couples enjoy true spiritual relationship with God. Only 10 to 15% of couples. That is very, very low. And that's why we have problem today. So the devil will do anything and everything to distract or destroy or attack marriage relationship. He will look for a way to attack our spiritual affection for God so as to rob us of the joy that marriage brings. And that's why God's intention is God's intention. If we are not having it as it is, as God wants it to be, then we need to look inward. What is it that we are doing that we're not doing right? And so a lot of times, many Christian couples who started well with great desire and love for God, I know people that when they were in the university, they were on fire. They were like prayer band leader or intercessory leader. They were like president for fellowship, but they get into marriage and things just change. And their love for God, they soon lose their fire. And if care is not taken, many things start contending or competing for their attention in marital relationship. So, what do we need to do to keep our intimacy with God in marriage? At least, first thing we need to do, at least one of the spouse, maybe the wife, maybe the husband or whoever, must have a purpose or vision for their marriage, a spiritual purpose. You must desire God. You must have it behind your mind, no matter what is happening, that in this relationship, we cannot do without God. Even if two of you are not, you know, facing that, if one person is able to stand in the gap for that home, it's a matter of time. The two will come to the knowledge of Christ and they'll be able to push ahead. Maybe for one reason or the other, maybe the husband now is a busy man. He has his job. He has his career to run after. He's looking for money for the family. You must not, as a wife, say, my husband is not praying. Who am I to pray? He's the head of the home. No, you can stand in the gap for him and God can touch his heart and open his understanding to the fact that you may run helter-skelter. Without God, it's all in vain. So it's important that for God to bless our marriage, for God to be involved with our marital relationship, we must make him the center. We must make him the foundation. That's the number one thing. Another thing about spiritual intimacy is not about changing your spouse. That is not the goal for spiritual intimacy. You can decide to change yourself, but nobody, no man, no woman can ever change the heart of any spouse. And that's why God is saying, don't be unequally yoked together with unbeliever. Some people in the past, we say, oh, you know what? I love him. He's a good man. He's not born again, I know. But, you know, but then we get married and I will convert him. You cannot convert anybody. Conversion of soul is in the hand of the Holy Spirit. And he's the only one that can do it. So don't do silly things because you love the person. When you are unequally yoked together with an unbeliever, you're just, in a way, making the devil your father-in-law. And it's a matter of time. When that spirit takes over his life, you begin to see things the way you don't want it to be. So as Christian wives, we have two powerful weapons. And these are much more effective than complaining or nagging or whining or crying. Crying does not change anything. So we have this power and we need to seek to use it. The first power we have as women is godly life. God can use this to create in the heart of our husband conviction and spiritual hunger. God can do that. When we seek him and say, God, I want my husband to know you. I want my husband to desire you. It's a matter of time. If it means praying in the night, if it means fasting and praying, crying to God for him, Maybe he was on fire before you married him. Maybe he knew God, he was born again, but for one reason or the other, he has gone cold. You know, you can change the situation. Don't just say, oh, he's the head. If he's not seeking God, why should I be seeking God? If he's not doing it, you have that power to continue to seek God and seek, cry to God for him. I always remember the story of this man that, what's his name now? It's gone off my head. But let me not say that. Another power that we have is prayer. When you're constantly pointing out the things you want your husband to change, you make him defensive. Men, you cannot just say, oh, you're this, you did, you look at where you put this, look at that, you're not looking good, can you just do this? So we keep doing that. We make men become very defensive, and he will become resistant to change. So instead of talking to him, go to God about it. Talk to God about it. The Bible says the heart of kings is in the hand of the Lord, and he directs it like rivers of water, whithersoever he wants. I always remember the story of a pastor in America. He left the shore of Nigeria as an African man, you know, and you know the way African men are. He got to America just like he was doing back home. He would just sit down, he would come back from work, sit down and be reading or listening to news, or, you know. And when the son is crying, say, darling, you know what? Your son is crying. The woman will run from the kitchen, go and carry the baby. Darling, can you bring me a glass of water? I was doing all that. The woman was doing it. But one day, this woman thought the best thing to do is to seek God. And she started praying. She started praying, say, God, I'm tired. I can't continue like this. Talk to this man. Let him be of help to me. And it was just like magic. You know, the man woke up like normal. He would normally get up at 5 to pray and do his quiet time. Holy Spirit said, I'm not hearing your prayer today. Go to the kitchen, clear the kitchen, and, you know, get things ready for the children and your wife. He knew it was God. He said, that thing just came over me. And I went to the kitchen, cleared everywhere, clean the whole place, wash the plate, prepare the breakfast, and pack food for the children to take to school. By the time the woman was coming down at 6 to come and do her chores, she got to the kitchen, things were set. She looked around and said, wow, what is happening here? She couldn't ask questions because at that time the husband was praying already. So she went back upstairs. She came down again. She said, God, is this how you answer prayer? I can't just imagine what this man had done. And this thing continued like that for a while. After some time, the husband called and said, darling, what happened? Did you report me to God? She said, no, it's not reporting. I just prayed about it, you know, and that changed everything. From that moment, this man became so supportive of the wife, and they could grow together. They could love God together. They could do things. Because when the woman is tired, you can't even enjoy the sexual life because she's tired. But things just change. And this man will keep talking about this anytime he has opportunity to talk about it. So you have that power of prayer. And I always have a feeling that God is God has a very soft spot for women. He answers prayer. So cry to him. He will turn the heart of your husband around. Proverbs, that's Proverbs 21 verse 1 in the Passion Translation. It said, it's easy for God to stir a king's heart for his purposes as it is for him to direct the course of his stream. So God can do it. He can turn everything around. So your goal in spiritual intimacy is not to allow, is to allow God to walk in you and through you to make your husband more like him. So it's not important, it is important you know that God is not against you. He's not looking or waiting for you to commit an offense and say, yes, you've done it, I'm going to punish you now. No, God is for us. He loves us. He cares about us. He wants the best for us. The Bible says our images are on the palm of his hand. And every day, you know, as you open your hand to look at it, God sees your image. And he says, oh, look at Fumi. Oh, I decree this over our life. He will look at you. If anybody is fighting against you, he comes in to defend you. So that is God for you. So there are once someone said intimacy can be divided into three, into mercy. So God wants you to look at him, and he's looking deep into you. You can look deep into your husband, and you see things turning around. So there are two main important things when it comes to intimacy: safety and honesty. Spiritual intimacy requires deep vulnerability. You should feel safe in your spouse's hand. You should be able to be yourself in each other's presence. You should be able to explain to him or tell him or tell her how you feel. You're not ashamed. The Bible says they were both naked and they were not ashamed. So there's nothing that you're going through that would be too difficult for you to share with your husband or share with your wife, knowing that you are both partners in business. You have the desire to make sure that it's well with both of you. It's not just your friend. It's not just somebody that, okay, if I tell him what is going on with me, before I know it, everybody will know about it. It's part of your body. The Bible says two will become one. So you are one together. So when you tell your husband or you tell your wife something, and you as a wife, you go to your friend and say, ah, look at what my husband did. This is what is going on. You are exposing yourself to your friends. You are exposing yourself to the world because you are now the same, one flesh together. So it's important that we are safe. Spiritual intimacy will help us. You can both be yourself in each other's presence. A place where you are not afraid to express yourself. A place where you are not afraid to tell each other your fears and concerns. You're not thinking, if I tell him, he will judge me. You can be open to one another. That's where God wants us to get to. So, and we can all overemphasize the issue of honesty in marriage. There is no need to pretend. Each person must be willing to express your honest feelings in love. Be yourself. There's no need faking anything. Maybe when you were courting, you were faking your character or whatever. But be open. Don't fake yours. Don't fake. You know, I remember a woman that told the husband, because she has this, you know, look, like her hair one kind, she said, oh, I'm a black American. I only came to live in this country. And for years upon years, the man thought she was, until he discovered that no, she was not, she has not even stepped out of their country. And that singular thing destroyed their marriage. So we need to be honest with one another. Be yourself. It is so, so important. When we ourselves, we can say, oh, my husband, you know what? This is the way I'm feeling. This is what is going on in my head. What do you think? It may be that both of you will pray about it and solution will come. Because of our time, I thought we'll be able to, you know, take the whole of this session, but with time, so that it's not too long, I think I need to stop here. Next episode, we'll be looking at barriers to spiritual intimacy. I believe God has blessed you, and keep basking in his love. God bless you. Have a wonderful day and a great week ahead. God bless.